welcome to Tea and Conversations.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. It is a Friday night, mm-hmm. a little rainy, but it's still a nice, cool night, mm-hmm. you know, because it's Friday, right? End of the work week for a lot of us, right?
It is.
So let's see, Brian, what you got in your cup tonight?
Black cherry.
Black cherry. I decided, usually I kind of do something different, but I wanted to try it too. Mm-hmm. So I made myself a cup of black cherry tea.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good. All right. That's what we're literally sipping on. And what are we going to sip on as far as the conversation tonight?
I mean, tonight I just been, well, actually this entire week, I just been pondering and thinking on things a lot of us wrestle with, right? Mm-hmm. And tonight we're going to talk about me, my biggest critic.
Mm, all right.
You know, who will put you down more than anyone else? Think about it.
Who will put me down more than anybody else?
Yeah.
I should say myself.
If you think about it, yes. I would say ourselves, right? We are our biggest critic. You know, just take for an example, when you wake up in the morning and you get up, well, for females, I don't know if guys go through the same thing, but I know for us ladies, sometimes we look in the mirror and the first thing we see is what's wrong. We don't look in the mirror and just say, wow, here's a beautiful lady or woman, you know, that I'm looking into the mirror and I'm seeing. But what we see is, oh, my face is too big, or, you know, too many wrinkles, or I have too many dark spots, or, but for you guys, I know y'all might look at yourselves and be like, man, you know, my hairline receding.
I'm not going to speak for other guys. I'm going to speak for myself. I really don't pay much attention to that myself. I just,
you just get up in the morning and just go.
I just get the stank off my breath and brush my teeth.
Yeah, be a lot of it now. You gotta get it in the good.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Stop it. And get the cat butt out my eye. But in all seriousness, I really don't know. Maybe I do. If I need a cut or something, I'll kind of trim up, but it's not
right.
Deep thoughts.
Right, so. Right. But the thing is, sometimes in life, we put ourselves down, you know, more than anyone else, you know, because we find ourselves always trying to measure up, and we say that we don't, but we really do. It's like, think about it. When someone give us a compliment, like on how good we look, we respond with a criticism, like, you know, like say somebody say, oh girl, I like that dress you're wearing. Oh girl, this thing. Oh, I had this thing in my closet last year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying, thank you. You know what I'm saying? It's like we find something to, you know, criticize. Or someone might say another thing. Someone might tell you that you're beautiful. You'd be like, oh, girl, yeah, but, you know, I need to lose a few pounds. You know what I'm saying? It's like we hardly ever, and I'm not going to say this is for everybody, right, but I find myself a lot of times when people give a compliment to me, I find myself opposed to just saying thank you first. Oh,
who been complimenting you?
Don't worry about that. You know, well, you. But don't act. When I step out, I step. So I get
I'm just trying to find out you. You talking about compliments.
You know, I dress. Uh-huh. But anyway, so the thing is, it's like we have to stop being negative, you know, towards ourselves.
Right.
And we have to see the beauty, you know, that God has created, you know, within us. Because sometimes, you know, we our thinking need to change, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we have fooled ourselves into really accepting the world's image of what beauty is.
Right.
So we ask ourselves, why is this a problem for us? You know, when it comes to looks, when it comes to our talents, when it comes to a lot of things, it's not just physical, but sometimes it's the gifts that we have.
Right.
You know, we can't even receive compliments. We have to be careful not to criticize ourselves, right?
Right.
But to be a part of building ourselves up and accepting a compliment with a thank you. Right. You know, sometimes we, you know, have to think that, are we really, you know, so in tune with the world that their view of us is more important than God's view of us?
Right.
Because the problem is the image of the world is it becomes the barrier for us. We become the world's image bearer.
Mm.
we're no longer God's image bearer, because when God, if you think about in Genesis, you know, one, and I think it's found in verse, you know, if you read 27 on through, you know, verses 31, you know, what does it say in Genesis 1:27? It says that, so God created in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, mm-hmm. he created them. But if you jump down to Genesis 1:31, it confirms how mm-hmm. God sees us.
Right.
He says that, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Mm-hmm. We have to stop listening so much to society, right? And what happens is that we are so consumed with society's, you know, image of us, and see this, their image of us is all about the outer shell.
Right.
It deals with the hair, the body, the skin, the exterior, the features. Right. You know, nothing of value, all that will return to dust, and it will reward you nothing. Right?
Yeah. And what came to my I was thinking about with King David, when God told, who was it, Samuel. This just came up. It just came up in my mind when you were saying that about Samuel. He told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse, I think, and to choose the next king. And the first thing Samuel was thinking, well, the king, he was thinking about Saul, like someone tall in stature.
Right.
And he and all this Jesse's sons came through, and then, you know, it was none of them. Mm-hmm. They thought it was the eldest son because he was tall in stature, broad-shouldered. He looked like a king.
Right.
But, you know, Sam was like, is anybody else? Here come David running through the back door, ruddy guy, you know, out with the sheep, didn't have that type of stature.
Right.
But God, you know, had to correct Samuel and say, look, I don't look upon the exterior. I look at the heart.
Right.
And he was looking at David's heart, not his exterior,
right,
that, you know, kind of validated him, you know. So that was, you know, even Sam, at, you know, he was a heavy prophet of God, you know, and even he missed it because he was looking at the standards based on what the, I guess, the society at that time would say what a king should look like.
Right, right, right. And it's like the world says, thin is in. So what do? We starve ourselves.
Yep.
And then we're going to some type of depression because, you know, our bodies don't make up, you know, don't look like what the world says our bodies should look like. But we have to realize that all of our makeup is different. You have some people that can work out all day long, but they just have like a big, you know, their frame is big. It's just the way. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't take care of your temple and you don't eat healthy and you don't work out. But everybody's not meant to be thin.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what you do. So we have to stop listening too much to society's image rules. And we have to realize that because God sees us as beautiful because he created us, right? We can no longer yield to what the world says is beauty. Because the world's beauty leads us to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life,
right,
you know, all the things that strays us away, and it causes us to tear ourselves down. So what's the point that I'm making here? It's like, who, it's just like in the Bible, I know this has nothing to do with it, but whose report are you going to believe? You know, when it talks about whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the fact that, you know, like we said, the outer feature shells, is that what's most important? Because you will find yourself living a life of depression, living a life of defeat, living a life like you don't measure up. I'm not good enough. You know, this person may not want to date me because I don't look like that person. You understand what I'm saying? Right. And it's like you go around with this huge complex in life because you have allowed yourself to be told by society what is beauty.
Excuse me.
What is beauty?
Right.
So we are critical. I'm gonna talk about also from another standpoint, we think about gifts. I remember years back, you and I, we used to do you know, go to different churches and stuff, and we would sing, and people will tell me, oh, you have a beautiful voice. The first thing I would say, you know, instead of saying thank you or praise God or whatever, I'd be like, oh yeah, well, I'll find something negative. You understand what I'm saying? And remember when we were going to the studio, sometimes we would record and you always say, okay, let's play back, you know, you know, this. Right. So I'll be like, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear my voice. I would take the headphones off because I've never liked, you know, how my vocals sound. It's like mm-hmm. I would tear myself down. And I guess because I could hear other singers. So this person can do that run or that person has that style. Mm-hmm. And we become, it's a slight, not necessarily competitiveness, but it make you feel as though you have to be that person. Mm. God made us how he made us,
right.
The way he made us for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't need, I mean, if everybody was like everybody, then there would be no beauty in the world because everybody would be the same. We have to embrace the you that God created.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Embrace the you that God created. Because when you don't, what you're saying is that, Lord, you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You're not who you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not all knowing, all powerful and everything. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like you made a mistake when you created me. And we understand that God don't make mistakes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is so true. It's interesting when I heard, you know, I'm my biggest critic as well. I'm going to take it to another level or another area beyond just the exterior criticism, but how critical people are of themselves concerning their behavior.
Right.
You know, wanting to, you know, not make mistakes, or you can be driven to think like, you know, wanting to be perfect, wanting to be that champion, wanting to be the hero, wanting to have, you know, the perfect marriage or just be the perfect person. And then, you know, you make an error, you know, you miss the mark.
Right.
And then you're super critical of yourself.
I dealt
because,
with that too.
Yeah, because you've missed the mark.
Right.
And then what we have to be careful of is that self-criticism, that can begin to turn into self-loathing, where we begin to think that nothing we do is good enough.
Right.
It can become an excuse not to fight or to give up. You see what I'm saying? When you are super critical of yourself like that. And I was trying to think of an example, you know, of someone I could think of biblically who was dealing with some self-loathing or something like that. And then I thought about Peter, you know, because think about this, the account in Luke 22, when Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crow tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Peter is saying in his mind, this is Brian thought, you know, he just chopped this guy ear off that tried to come into one of the soldiers that was, you know, coming to get Jesus. Peter's like this, hey, you know, I'm the man, Lord, you know, and then what happens in his mind, Peter could have been easily thinking, I would have been thinking, man, the Lord tripping. You know, what do you mean that I'm going to deny him three times? Man, you my dude. I got your back. You know what I'm saying? But then this is what's interesting. When you go to Matthew 26, it says, meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, you were one of those with Jesus. But Peter denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Okay. Then Peter even went deeper. Peter swore a curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. Now, this is the part when I'm talking about when I was thinking about self-criticism or getting into self-loathing. It says, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Think about that. Peter was like, Peter was like, I'm your dude. I will never turn my back on you. And then in that moment, he did it. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you would deny me three times that you even know me. And this is the part right here about self-loathing, what I'm talking about, criticism. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. He was weeping bitterly. Sometimes we miss it. Right. You see what I'm saying? We miss the mark. And he missed the mark. And some of us, I've known people, I've dealt with that myself, where you just want to always be in that position where you do the right thing, mm-hmm. you know, but then you miss the mark. Now you go into this self-loathing, this mm-hmm. bitterness, like, man, I done messed it up. Okay. So let's get to the solution mm-hmm. to self-criticism. Let's get to the solution of self-loathing when you feel like, man, I done messed it up. You know, it's gone beyond criticism to the point where you are in a depressed state. You want to give up. Mm. You don't want to fight anymore. And I was thinking, what's the solution? And I think it's found in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Because when you think about it, in John 21, after the death of Christ and he came back, he was resurrected. What did he tell? He asked Peter three times. He was like, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Everybody, many of us know the text. If you go to John 21, and he asked him a couple of times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And basically, you know, Peter was like, Lord, you know I love you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, feed my sheep right. if you love me. So he put it to action. But what restored Peter and brought him out of that self-loathing, because we know Peter went on to do great things, mm-hmm. Led the church, was martyred for the Lord, was a champion of the faith. But what brought him out of that self-loathing was he knew that he was forgiven. Mm-hmm. He knew that he was loved. And then it was action put to his faith. Because mm-hmm. You can have faith, but if there's no work. So Jesus was like, feed my sheep. Action. Right. I love you. You're forgiven. You see what I'm saying? Now let your faith produce works. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So that self-loathing, that defeated state many people are in, know that you are forgiven and God loves you even when you miss the mark.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? God loves you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. From your it's interesting, the two angles we came from, where your angle is, you know, people feeling really defeated because they don't think they are beautiful enough or they're good enough. People, they over-criticizing themselves. Mm-hmm. But then we have to be careful as well that we don't get into not the exterior and how we look, but also some people try to be perfect. Like, you can't make mistakes.
This is something you said earlier, and it just triggered something in my mind. When you talk about you being your biggest critic, I think sometimes that thing turned a little bit into people bondage.
Mm-hmm.
If you really mm-hmm. think about it. Because, okay, say this. I've been in circles, right, where you have, and it's not really that diverse, right? Mm-hmm. And then right. you feel like sometimes you may have to speak a certain way
mm-hmm.
or, I don't know, behave a certain way in order to be accepted by this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. what you're doing is becoming critical of your makeup.
Mm-hmm.
My personality is not good enough to fit in with this group of people. So therefore right. I need to change who I am mm-hmm. and speak a certain way or behave a certain way just to be liked and received.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not thinking that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not thinking that the way God made you is, mm-hmm. you know, is good, as God say, what I created is good, very good. We don't see that because what we're doing, people have become our idol.
Mm-hmm.
People yeah. have become our idol. And when we set our eyes on people, that's what causes us to become critical.
Boy. And then it's interesting what you're saying too. It ties into that text, if you read John 21, at the end, mm-hmm. when Peter started asking Jesus about John, you know,
yeah.
and remember when Jesus was like, you know, why don't worry about John?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Mm-hmm. You know, he want to know what's going on with John, the one that beloved or whatever. And Jesus was like, you know, basically Jesus was telling, man, why are you focusing on him?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You right. need to focus on feeding the sheep and what I call you to do.
Right.
Don't worry about John.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If whatever happened with John, if he lived, whatever he do, why are your eyes on John?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You need to be focusing on what I call you to do. And I think that's very interesting, the point you bring up, because we do get in these certain spaces with people mm-hmm. and we think, okay, I need to please right. them mm-hmm. instead of just, it is liberating to just be you.
Just be you.
Mm-hmm. Just be you.
People probably would like you more.
If you would just be you.
If you would just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in a room and everybody sound the same, act mm-hmm. the same.
It'll be boring.
Mm-hmm. We bring so much to the table and just our own person.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? And if they have an issue with you being you, guess what you can do?
Travel. y'all got to go check out another episode. Yeah, that's not what you was episode. About to say. Yeah. What are you about to
Letting
say?
Letting people go, no, that's what I was going
to
say.
That's it's what like, say.
Yeah, because you should live to please people. And I think all of it just circles back around to what you were saying initially. Knowing that you are loved,
mm-hmm.
knowing that you are forgiven.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to be perfect
right.
or flawless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to make errors. When you make your error, you know, guess what? Get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Do that 180 degree turn. And trust God that he'll be your strength to help you continue to fulfill his will and purpose for your life, not to try to be perfect.
You know, the more we try to be perfect, the more we fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we find ourselves falling flat on our face more when we try to be perfect. Mm-hmm. What is that movie that you and Zion was watching? Little House Fires?
Yeah, boy. Woo.
You know,
I think that was it.
No, that little
mini house fires or whatever, little house fires or little, fires around the house, whatever.
There were some flames going on, but, little fires everywhere.
Where yeah, little it? Fires everywhere.
I don't know.
Netflix.
I have
good.
I
boy,
have to
that
look
scene
that
at the end when what her daughter was like, "I'm not perfect, Mom." She goes, yes, you are.
I was like, classic. But that's the mentality that we have. It's mm-hmm. like we try to cover up so much so mm-hmm. people won't see our mistakes. What we fail to realize is that we bless people with our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
When we make a mistake and we don't try to hide it, but we confess, fess up to our mistakes and try mm-hmm. to walk and get it right, it can help somebody else who may be going through the same situation. Mm-hmm. But when you're walking in a lane of trying to be perfect, that makes other people feel as though, oh, I need to measure up to you. Mm-hmm. You are part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because you setting this standard, people who are weak looking at you,
mm-hmm.
why are you trying to pretend to be something that you're not? And you're causing other people to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everything about us need to be pointing to Jesus.
Yeah. And I really think this, I just had this thought as well, is that when you're not trying to be the, you know, making an effort to be perfect and, you know, like, I'm gonna be the hero, you know, when that's your mindset, that kind of begins to drift under that umbrella of pride.
Right.
Like, I got this. You right. know what I'm saying? And
I need to be the model family.
Right. Or, yeah, yeah. And it's right. kind of like it takes you into this, you know, when it talks about those who are prideful will be put to shame,
right.
but the humble will be exalted. You know, I think when you just humble,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and just fall back and be humble, you will stumble. Less.
Right. That's true.
There is less stumbling and humbling.
And you also want to try to rhyme.
Get a rhyme. It is.
You do not
pride,
have bars.
It won't be a good stride or whatever. But real talk.
And we're going to ride. Never yeah. mind. But anyway, we're going to ride on to the next thing because you're going to. Okay. It may have been. It may have been. But seriously, I sit and I think about even with our children.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy. God knows we put our children through so much trying to make them perfect so that they mm-hmm. won't embarrass us. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? I mean, we always, you know, it's like mm-hmm. they need to make this type grade or
mm-hmm.
be able to have this type of personality or mm-hmm. whatever. We got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We have mm-hmm. to stop, you know, and because what happens is that we give our children self complexes about themselves
mm-hmm.
and then they become critical. It's just like it's planting that mm-hmm. seed for them to become critical mm-hmm. because I have to be this certain way, and when I don't, when I'm not this certain person, then I mm-hmm. find myself less than.
Mm-hmm. We gotta say that for another episode. We deal with children and
oh yeah
and, long perfect kids. Maybe that's a
Okay, so that'll be another topic. Okay,
we'll work on it. Little fires everywhere.
Now the little fires, they're about to get some cold water.
Lady, she was just like, my family is perfect. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. But anyway, I pray that this is something that have blessed you all. And I would love to hear from you. You know, if you want to leave us a comment on the Apple podcast, we would love to hear your thoughts. But just know, I will close with this, you know, just a thought. You know, if the creator of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, say that what he created was very good, why do we believe the image bearer of society and its approval over the words of the Almighty?
Mm. Wow. That was good. Well, thanks for listening, y'all. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you would like to support TN Conversations for future episodes, please look in the description box for details. Thanks for listening to
TN Conversations. Catch you all next time. Bye.
Y'all be blessed.